Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Thessalonians chapters 1, verses 3 through 10a. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading appointed for today is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering, since indeed God considers it just to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, our text for today is what I would entitle Thanksgiving in Tribulation. So imagine receiving a letter that begins not with rebuke, but with overflowing thanksgiving and boasting, while the church is being crushed by persecution. That's 2 Thessalonians. The context: Paul is writing to a young church under intense pressure, persecution, and affliction. Yet he is full of joy. So the question is, how can a suffering church become a cause for boasting and thanksgiving and proof of God's justice? Well, in verses 3 to 4, we see that a church is worth boasting about. It says, we ought always to give thanks. We ourselves boast about you. The obligation to give thanks, we ought. It's a moral necessity. It would be wrong not to thank God for what he is doing in them. And there are two unmistakable marks of genuine grace. One is faith that is growing abundantly, not static, not merely surviving, exploding in trust toward God through the means of grace, word, and sacraments. And love that is increasing in every single believer toward one another. Persecution often fractures churches, but here it is welding them together in love. A third mark in our text is steadfastness and faith in persecution. Steadfastness. What a powerful word. It's a courageous endurance, staying under the load without collapsing. Paul boasts about them in other churches. Not their programs, not their buildings, not their church attendance, but their perseverance in Christ. So I ask you this morning, as you about ready to take off for your vacation on Thanksgiving, what is growing in your life right now? Faith and love, or bitterness and fear? The true test of a healthy church and Christian is not how one behaves when things are easy, but how faith and love flourish when things are hard. And we see that in verses 5 through 9, that a judgment is coming that's worth waiting for it. We read, this is evidence on the righteous judgment of God. A present suffering is evidence of future vindication. Your patient endurance is not meaningless. It is evidence in God's courtroom that you belong to him in his kingdom. God is preparing you now to be considered worthy of the kingdom you suffer for. You are considered worthy because he now looks at you with cross vision. He looks at you through the cross of Christ. In your baptism, God reached down into the muck and mire of your sinfulness and made you his child. He gave you Jesus' righteousness. He exchanged your filthy, sinful life for the righteousness of Christ, who kept and lived the law perfectly for us, suffered for us, died for us, and rose for us. That is why we are considered worthy in Christ. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about Jesus. But now we see two sides of God's justice at Christ's return. There's retribution to repay with affliction those who afflict you. And it's tempting to take kind of a joy in that knowing that God's going to get you for everything that you've done for me on this earth because of my faith. Because God is not indifferent to evil. He keeps perfect records. Relief. He'll grant relief to you who are afflicted. The same moment that brings terror to the oppressors brings rest and comfort to the oppressed. The terrifying reality of final punishment is really some stark words in our text. Flaming fire, vengeance, eternal destruction. That's all law. That's what we deserve and will get apart from Christ. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Hell is not merely suffering. It is banishment from the source of all joy and beauty for eternity. It is the eternal separation from God. And we sometimes just take that lightly. We know people who are not believers, but yet we still are hesitant to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when we realize what's the consequence for those who don't believe in Christ, it is hell. But because you are in Christ, no wrong done against you will go unpaid, either at the cross or at his return. Christ has paid for your sins and promises to give you eternal life. The last day is not a frightful day for us who are children of God. There is a warning as we as a church have been pondering the end time text for the last few weeks. And if you don't know by now, there is a day coming when it will be too late. So be ready. We will have a returning king. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed. The purpose of the second coming is the glory of Jesus. He does not come primarily to fix our problems. He comes to be glorified and is the victor and king. As Paul puts it in Philippians, when Jesus returns in his glory, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And my friends, that is the good news for you and for me and those who believe in Jesus. Because our testimony to you was believed. The same gospel Paul preached is the power that produced their faith, love, and endurance. And it will be vindicated on that day of Christ's return. So to you, my fellow suffering believers, keep going. Your faith is growing, your love is increasing, and your king is coming. God has given you the armor you need to fight in this church militant. So give thanks. Be thankful that God has loved you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to live, to suffer, to die, and rise again for you and to redeem you. What a gift of God. That is why you truly can have a thankful heart. And I'd like to share as a closing benediction verses 16 and 5 of our text. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. And may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.